Flint, Michigan. How did a simple flip of a switch lead to a long-term public health crisis that tested the resilience of its residents? In this Science of Crime podcast series, we examine the chain of events that led to years of damage, distrust, and dirty water. My name is Rose Goodpasture, and this is episode number 13, How Lead Exposure Can Create Criminals. In this episode, I will be discussing how the lead exposure of the children in Flint, Michigan can have some drastic, irreversible effects on behavior and mental ability, and how it could ultimately cause them to commit more crimes as adults. First, how does lead poisoning happen? Well, lead is a cumulative toxicant, which means it is stored in the body and builds up over time. It can be ingested in many ways. Most commonly, children are exposed to lead paint, but in the Flint, Michigan case, they were drinking the lead from their own water source. Once it enters the body, the lead bonds to red blood cells and is distributed into the brain, livers, kidney, and bones. Young children can suffer from more extreme and permanent effects from lead exposure, particularly in brain development and the nervous system. Young children are also more vulnerable to lead poisoning because they absorb 4 to 5 times more lead than adults. Undernourished children are especially susceptible because their bodies absorb more lead if they are lacking other nutrients. This is important to note because 40% of the people in Flint live in poverty and are therefore likely to be less healthy and likely undernourished, making them more vulnerable to lead poisoning. At high levels of lead exposure, children can suffer from severe brain damage and harm to the central nervous system, which can lead to coma, convulsions, and even death. Children who survive high levels of poisoning can suffer from delayed mental development and behavioral disorders. At lower levels of exposure, it can affect brain development and cause a reduced IQ, reduced attention span, and increased antisocial behavior. Studies show that with every 10 micrograms of lead per deciliter of blood, IQ decreases by approximately 3 points. The most severe neurological effect of lead exposure is called encephalopathy, which is a response to high levels of lead which can lead to irritability, lack of interest, changes in personality, attention difficulty, memory loss, and even tremors and hallucinations. Children can develop lead encephalopathy after being exposed to much lower levels of lead than adults. It is important to remember that there is no safe amount of lead exposure. Even the smallest amounts can lead to behavioral problems and decreased IQ. These neurological and behavioral effects of lead exposure are believed to be irreversible. I talked to pediatrician Dr. Kimberly Phillips about the process of screening children for lead poisoning, what some of the symptoms look like, and how it can ultimately affect their future. First, she explained the process of screening children for lead poisoning and the criteria that they must meet.
The process of screening for lead poisoning that we use in our office is when a child comes in for a checkup, we find out if they're high risk for lead exposure and lead poisoning. So those people, those would be children who are on Medicaid, people who live in homes built before 1978, and certain zip codes in the county and city. And that is because certain zip codes have a high number of houses with older homes and lead paint. We also would want to screen someone for lead if they were anemic or if they're having potentially difficulty with learning. If we have a child that meets the criteria for needing their lead level checked at a checkup or a sick visit, we first do a capillary stick to see what their lead level is at our office. If that level is elevated, then there are specific guidelines that we follow to determine when we need to have them come back in to the office to recheck. The venous capillary, the venous lead level is a little more accurate than the capillary lead level, so sometimes we need to do a venous stick to send the lead level out.
Then she explained what the symptoms of lead poisoning look like and what some of the long-term effects of childhood lead exposure are.
The potential symptoms that we could see for a child with lead poisoning could be fatigue, abdominal pain, vomiting, constipation, irritability. The potential long-term effects would be difficulty with school, learning disabilities, inattention, poor growth, hearing difficulties.
There's something called the lead crime hypothesis, which is that lead exposure at a young age causes problems such as learning disabilities and impulse control problems, which can then cause them to commit crimes as adults, particularly violent crimes. It is difficult to measure the correlation between crime and lead exposure because lead exposure is also correlated with poverty, which can also impact crime rates. I'm going to discuss a few studies that tested this lead crime hypothesis and the results that were obtained. First is a study done by James Feigenbaum and Christopher Muller. They determined that lead can only seep into acidic water, so they compared homicide rates in cities with lead pipes and acidic water and crime rates in cities with lead pipes and non-acidic water. This case study is similar to the situation in Flint because the lead is being ingested from their water source. Feigenbaum and Muller found that the populations that were exposed to lead had much higher crime rates 20 years after being exposed. The second study is one done by Anna Azer and Janet Curry, in which they investigated the correlation between blood lead levels of preschool children and future school suspension and incarceration. They chose kids that went to the same schools and whose parents made similar incomes. The results showed that children who were exposed to higher levels of lead were more likely to be suspended from school and incarcerated as juveniles. Another study was done by Jessica Reyes to determine whether the removal of lead from gasoline in the 1970s had an effect on the crime rates 20 years later. In the 70s, lead was removed from gasoline under the Clean Air Act, and childhood blood lead levels decreased from 15.0 to 1.9 micrograms per deciliter. Reyes determined that from 1992 to 2002, 20 years after the lead was removed from gasoline, violent crime dropped by 34%. Another interesting thing that Reyes discovered with this study was that lead exposure did not seem to have any effect on murder rate or nonviolent property crimes. The final study is one done by a team of researchers in St. Louis, Missouri, where they analyzed the association between blood lead levels and violent crime within the city. They obtained blood lead level tests from about 59,000 children in St. Louis City. Then, they geocoded locations of all violent crimes reported by the St. Louis Police Department. They then calculated the mean crime rate per quartile of the city and compared them to the mean proportion of elevated blood lead tests in each quartile. The results revealed that as the blood lead levels increased, the violent crime rates also increased, proving that there is a correlation between the two. All of these studies and this data prove that there is some correlation between childhood lead exposure and future crime rates, but it is obviously not the only factor. People living in poverty are the most susceptible to lead poisoning, but they are also susceptible to many other factors, such as less access to good education and healthcare and higher stress levels, which can also cause them to commit crimes. So it's important to also take these things into account and remember that lead exposure cannot be accountable for all of these crimes. The data and studies that I've discussed revealed that Flint, Michigan is likely to see an increase in crime around the years 2030 to 2034, because that will be when the children who are exposed to lead are grown up. There are things that can be done to lessen the future crime rates in Flint. First, I think that the state government should expand educational and mental health programs to support these children with learning disabilities. It has also been proven that the CDC recommended interventions for children with elevated blood lead levels works to reduce their antisocial behaviors, causes them to have less school suspensions and absences, and ultimately commit less violent crimes. I think it would be extremely beneficial for the city of Flint to implement these services so not only the children, but everyone who is exposed to the water from the Flint River. It is important to pay attention to the current events in Flint, Michigan, and do everything we can to help, but it is also important to take into account how this will impact the future. There is a very real possibility that there will soon be an increase in crime in Flint, and we must take action in order to spread awareness and prevent it.